You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
Perhaps we should rest?
For about
we should go
hours.
Up the stairs.
You want to go up the stairs? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're not resting.
Just to
Do
check.
Do you want to go into a new area?
I just want to check.
That's what I heard. We see you, like, sliding into this room. And behind you, one of these drawings peels itself.
Oh, no.
Off of the wall.
It's a trap! Get out of there!
Asta.
Huh?
You're going to run away with me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, right, so I'm going to fully disengage.
You're going to get the hell out of there. Yeah. All right. So who's got first watch?
Zephyr does.
Zephyr's got first
with
watch.
The dog.
We're going to rest.
Good night, everyone.
Zephyr, while you're sleeping, you hear Brother Ramius's voice. You see him standing in front of a casket. Something feels off. You've lived this moment. You know Brother Ramius wasn't the priest presiding over this funeral. To keep hearing the priest's voice intermingle with Brother Ramius's voice, and then that voice is interrupted by a knocking sound, and then you realize it's coming from the coffin.
Oh, something's trapped in here. Goes to open it.
The lid bursts open, and bursting up and out of the casket is a person wearing a horrifying mask, and it just floats there in space above the casket for a moment. For lunging at you.
The adventure continues. Now.
Sydney, when is your costume due back at the warehouse you rented it at?
It's fashion. Look it up. I toned it down because Skid did offer. He said, ooh, nice corset. Would you also like a cape?
Yeah, if you're going to put on a...
The cape is cover yourself.
Now, you say corset or corset?
Oh, I guess corset, yeah.
Corset. Drive a corset.
I thought you listened to one in a device called a record... a stereo.
I have a corset player. Let's do cape.
Should we see? And then I'll give it back. I told Skid I didn't want to ruin his magic.
Oh, Halloween came early here.
This is spooky.
It's like the fifth show where you've started just by making fun of the women's clothing.
It's not the women's clothing. It's just...
it's just me.
It's Kate sometimes. Remember 70s librarian?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you do it with alarming frequency.
And I've talked about Skid's cape on numerous episodes.
Honestly, this cape is really fire, and it's actually very nice and well-made. Isn't it soft?
Thank you.
It's nice.
But Buggles needs the cape.
Buggles needs the cape.
Asta would never. But I will... Oh!
What happened?
Something horrible just happened to you.
Cindy,
you
okay? Right?
The static shock went through my headphone.
Oh.
That was crazy. I feel like I shocked my brain.
It's probably because you're wearing a pound and a half of metal.
You know what I'm saying?
Whalebone is a conductor. I don't know.
I'm going to say this, and I have no regrets about being a little uncouth to you.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I get dressed up for the show.
I was going to ask Matthew.
I'm sorry that I try.
Okay.
Somebody cares.
Do you like wearing silly stuff ever, Matthew?
Sure.
What's the silliest thing you've ever worn?
Ever?
Yeah.
Ever. What a weird question.
Like the past couple of years, in normal hanging out.
Not as a costume on stage.
Like what we're doing here, yeah.
Okay, well, that limits it. I don't know, fake mustache?
Yeah. A fake mustache.
You wore a
top
fake mustache
over your real
regular hangout situation.
That's what made it weird.
That'd be fun if you like rip it off and you have the real mustache.
It wasn't very silly.
Who the hell are you?
Silly in context.
Was it bigger or smaller?
It's roughly the same size.
Oh, that's good.
What about you, Joe? You're pretty much a t-shirt and jorts kind of guy.
So, that's how I mow my lawn. T-shirt and jorts.
Waving to the neighbors.
Morning, Bill.
Nice jorts, O'Brien.
Are they true jorts or are they cutoffs?
They're cutoffs. I don't have that kind of money.
I'm making jort money.
Jorts are in fashion again now. They're expensive.
I don't have that Brooklyn jort money.
Did you ever do the cutoff shirt? You or Beer still do the cutoff shirt. I remember all our softball shirts. You love cutoff
the muscle tanks? Yeah.
I cut off old shirts and make them workout shirts, basically.
Yeah, you like a tank.
I don't like a sleeve when I'm exercising in the heat. It bothers me.
I don't like a man in
even
a tank
a short
top.
Sleeve.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
You didn't like a sleeve like when we were recording episodes of the podcast.
Whew, man, it got hot in there.
Yeah. You should at least shave your armpits. I don't need to see all that.
It's so weird.
Like a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Skid, the cape is really, you're going with this. It's here.
I was just the first one to use it. And so it's proprietary at this point.
Should we sell Glass Cannon capes?
I'm going to be selling them on my own. Thank you very much. I mean to cut you all out, but
I'm
going
to. Got a copyright on capes.
Skid kind of opened the door though.
Get our lawyer on the phone.
He brought in a cape.
I did actually because Nick Shelton gave me the cape and I was just like, hey, your cape's a big hit. Everyone's talking about it. I didn't mention that it's with derision a lot of the time. And he was just like, oh, you should have an affiliate with them, have an affiliate relationship with them. You can sell the cape. He's just like, I make like $1,000 a month doing affiliate stuff. And I was just like, that's an interesting idea. So people out there, if you want a cape, hold off.
Until I figure out how this all works.
Wait. So what isn't what? Hold on. What does being an affiliate entail? Does he have to wear the cape?
People
in public?
Are like, they
no,
see
they
him
click
wear the
his
cape,
link to go buy,
and they're
it,
like, I want his cape. And Skid's like, well, I have a link for you here, and that link knows that that person was sent to buy the cape by Skid, so Skid gets a cut.
No, I understand all that. I just want to know what Nick is doing, because Nick is
how's
not
Nick
quite
making
$1,000
a month?
You are.
What is it affiliate links for drugs? What is he selling?
Is wandering around with this cape until people ask him what it is, and they hand him a QR code?
Like, I don't know. I do know he's giving a talk at Columbia, your alma mater.
Ah, the country?
In 6 weeks.
He's doing
weeks,
America next.
If anyone wants to come. I don't know what it's on.
It's on affiliate marketing. How to trick your friends into giving all your cape business to them.
So Skid Cape, Sydney Corset.
I can wear corset, yeah.
Joe Jorts.
Jorts.
Cut
Matthew
off.
Mustache.
Kate.
Funny glasses.
Oh, but you're not wearing them today.
No, I don't wear them usually here. Sometimes I do.
Kate's got great glasses, though. It's true.
Do.
I thought it was nice that you admitted passively that they are funny glasses.
They're funny.
They are funny.
But they're also not funny.
They're very cool.
They're fashion glasses. Fashion.
That's what it is.
They're high fashion.
Fashion.
Oh, is that what that is?
Fashion.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Everyone here has some kind of assistive lens situation going on, right?
Assistive lens?
No.
You wear contacts?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect vision.
Corrective lens.
I wear glasses, but I lost them, and I can't see to find them.
It's a rough situation.
Okay, Velma.
All right, Kate. I seriously can't see the
star. Honestly,
we're both hairy. I get it.
Honestly, you don't make eye contact with us anyway. So
Troy.
Yes.
Your costume is hat?
My costume is hat. I guess, yeah. I've just always worn hats. You know what I like? I like a headband now and then.
What?
I don't mind a headband. I guess
I've never.
Just thinking about weird stuff, a headband.
Prove it.
Wear it next time. I've never seen you in a headband.
No, I haven't worn one in a long time, but I went through a headband phase. You know what I did in college? It must have been my senior or junior year. Was what are those fucking things called? They're like not scarves, but they're
magic scarves.
No, they're like the handkerchiefs that you could wear as a cap. Kind of like Rosie the Riveter. Doesn't she have one of those?
Bandana.
Thank you. Couldn't think of the word. That was my jam. I had like 7 or 8 bandanas and I'd wear a bandana.
I just
was taking a break from baseball caps and I was way into bandanas. And I had a soul patch too.
Picturing like Michael
Scott.
You
walked around the campus of Boston College.
With a bandana.
With a bandana.
Dude,
and
it was the
patch.
90s. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
And you were
they
wearing...
must have been like, look at that guy from the future.
Well, yeah, because in my experience walking around the campus of Boston College, everyone was in like a rugby shirt or 2 polo shirts.
Yeah.
Everyone.
No, but not Old LaValley. They called me Mr. Bandana.
Mr. Bandana.
Yep.
That's what they called you to your face, I guess.
I guess.
You should bring it back.
Yeah, maybe I will next week.
So wait, is the bandana and the headband thing the same one and the same thing?
No, it just led me to think
about. So the headband thing, is that like a John McEnroe sweat headband?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so not like a Rambo. Like
no.
Oh, however, hair pushback.
I'm thinking of
Jim McMahon headband.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking of making a glass cannon headband that we sell just so people, we look out in the audience, we see like 50 headbands.
I love a good headband.
Can you make it a headband and sweat wrist thing? What do they call it? Like
I wear that. Yeah. So I have wristbands and headbands for tennis when I play
tennis.
If
you're a douchebag, you just wear one on this arm.
Yeah.
And you don't work out. Should wear it on that one arm.
Nice. No, I need them because I sweat profusely.
Just show up big your
forearm. And I can wear them for the show, too. We'll make it a thing and I'll hop.
You need a body band.
I'll just bring extra sets.
Sweating
you
on
need
stage.
A body band. You need a whole body
band. A terrible
body band. A body band.
It'll definitely stop the sweat. Wearing a body size.
Matthew, I like the idea of being on stage having to wear the sweatbands because the sweat is getting into your keyboard. Like you have,
that's
you need
how bad
them
it is. Just dripping into your electronics.
Your dice are all slipping out your hands.
It's really hard to be me.
I'm sorry.
I agree.
Do you ever just be like, I'm taking it all off? And you just take a razor and just like, you know what? It'll grow back.
Just go to town.
Hair that
just
makes
fucking. What? I will do it live on
it's
stage
not the
for
hair
you.
That makes
no, this is. I'm switching topics here.
Yeah, I know.
Just shave it all off.
Well, you and I have talked about this actually because we both recently had the same surgery.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
and it was.
And you just left it. You didn't clean up the whole area.
Oh, no, as soon as I could stand, I cleaned everything up.
Took the whole thing off. Yeah, we had hernia surgery, and they like, why don't you just finish the job? They left you with like this weird face on your abdomen. Like, oh, what am I going to do with all this?
They shave exactly what they need and no more.
But then you start going, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'll get rid of the pits. Oh, see you later, gorilla salad. Then you go down to the legs,
shaving your arms.
Yep.
You did not shave your arms?
No, I didn't shave my arms. I have shaved my legs, though, for Halloween once.
What?
It's a real pain in the ass.
What was the costume?
Swimmer?
It was the Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I went as...
Oh, you were Hedwig?
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Type black dress.
Did you have a Yitzhak?
A what? I tucked it between my legs. What did you ask? That's
a couple's costume.
I think my buddy played Yitzhak. Yeah, I can't remember. No, he played Johnny, the other character. There's like a rocker.
Oh, Tommy Gnosis?
Yeah, Tommy Gnosis. That's what it was.
It's a good costume.
Senior college. And then I took off that costume and threw on a sweet bandana.
And hit the quad.
Yep. I'll try and track down a picture of me in drag with shiny legs. But in the meantime, I'd like to shave you in public.
For Patreon members only.
We can unpack why at a different time. Maybe we should move on.
People are going to have to pay to watch this. But either way, stay tuned. We're going to shave Matt live on it.
A horrible collection of ideas.
Right after this break.
What's up, Nash? I want to thank Henson Shaving for not only sponsoring this episode of the GCP and helping us bring the show to you, but also for making the greatest razor of all time. You may think that I'm overstating this because they're a sponsor after all, but you would be wrong. I'm serious. Not only have I been telling you guys about this, I've been telling my friends, I've been telling my family that I'm obsessed with this razor. It is a game changer for me, and you can get one yourself by going to hensonshaving.com/GCP and using code GCP. I love so much about this razor, not the least of which is that it's made by an aerospace parts manufacturer that has made parts for the International Space Station and the Mars rover. And it's also a family business, which I love. They use their experience in precision engineering to craft a razor that only extends 0.0013 inches from the base, thus decreasing the wobble or the diving board effect that causes nicks and scrapes. Since I started using it a couple months ago, I've had no nicks, no irritation. It's incredible, and it's affordable, which is wild. You pay for the razor once, and then replacement blades are going to run you like $3 to $5 a year. Anyway, forget paying for subscriptions and forget paying a gajillion dollars on multi-blade replacement cartridges. Visit HensonShaving.com/GCP to pick the razor for you and use code GCP and you'll get 2 years worth of blades for free with your razor. Just make sure to add them to your cart. That's 100 blades when you head to HENSONShaving.com/GCP and use code GCP. NordVPN has been a huge sponsor of the GCP ever since the start of Campaign 2, and I couldn't be more grateful that they're sponsoring this episode, or more excited, considering that NordVPN is my go-to for changing my virtual location for a ton of reasons. But first and foremost, for me, security. If you've ever dealt with identity theft before, it is brutal. And I know from personal experience that it throws your whole world out of whack for several days as you close accounts, change dozens of passwords, if not more, cut up credit cards. And I mean, just it's not only the inconvenience, it's the fear of how quickly and easily it can happen to you. It's really just unsettling. And NordVPN helps me put my mind at ease, at least when I'm away from home and I'm using cellular internet or hotel Wi-Fi. I just take that extra 2 seconds, a quick click on the app, and I turn on my protections so that I protect my private information. And there's a ton of added benefits to changing your virtual location beyond just password security. There's, outwitting regional price discrimination. Flights and hotels are just two examples of things that tend to be priced differently depending on where you are, and changing your location can give you a chance to browse for better prices without actually needing to leave the country. So if you're looking to better protect yourself and your information, or just save some money by avoiding regional price discrimination, or just trying to stream a show that isn't available in your country, NordVPN is the app that covers all of it for you. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/GCP. Our link will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support your old buddies at the GCP. The link is in the episode description box.
And we're back. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors. Couldn't do this without them. Demiplane, Foundry VTT, and Norse Foundry. Last week, we talked about the remastered character sheets for Demiplane. Talk about Foundry VTT. Oh, baby. I love it. Are you still like life changed by it?
Life changed by it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. Maybe we should just do it on air.
Yeah.
I want to run something. I want to run something in 2E on Foundry because I want to learn it better.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to learn it is you got to GM something. If you GM something, like even if it's just a one shot or one over one thing, like, you're going to learn so much in one GM session, I think, on Foundry that'll be way better as a player as well.
All right. It's not in the budget.
I know. I knew you were going
to
say that.
You have to run it off air amongst your friends, not me.
Okay.
Or if there's a private investor out there that would like to pay for Joe running a one shot of something on Foundry, email me and I'll send you our prices.
Actually, email me directly and I'll do it as an individual. And we'll sell capes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll sell capes. Yeah. We need to go back to our original contract.
Joe and Skid, shameless money.
That's right.
Mind you, most of the show, I imagine, is going to go something like this.
Why does this work? What, with Foundry? The flawless virtual tabletop?
It has nothing to do with the software. encountering something new.
It's a user error.
It is just amazing to me to think about what we did with Giant Slayer, how I'd be sitting there with an iPad and I would download all the encounters to the iPad and look at the iPad, but putting conditions on it, like it was so much extra work, so much extra preparation. And then having to look up, what does that power do? Putting into my spreadsheet just to be able to click on the monsters, and have everything come up for you to be able to condition them and it changes all the stats. It's been wonderful. So, if you're interested, go to the link in the description for this video or in the description of the podcast. Click on our Foundry VTT link to let them know you're coming from us and sign up. It's like the best $50 you will ever spend.
Yeah, that's the other thing I love about a flat price.
Boom, done.
Bam.
Yep.
Pay once, you're good.
Pow.
Boom. Pow.
What's your point?
Wham.
What do you guys want to do today?
I want to generate random numbers.
Oh. Yeah.
Norse and Boundary.
Norse Foundry for all your random number generating needs. This one, for example, produces numbers from 1 to 6.
Oh, look at that. What would you call that?
Skid, do we have the same Norse
Still
Foundry
coming up with a name
set?
For this.
Or did you steal my D6 of this set?
No, we have this.
What?
Oh, wow.
You have the same one?
I think we have the same one.
Is that the America one?
Yeah, the America one.
Wait, I have that one too.
What?
What?
I wanted the most patriotic one.
Wait.
Told me this was for me.
He told me this was for the Red Sox.
He told me this was for America.
Wow, we just got like the leftover dice.
Wow.
It's like, can we gotta get rid of these blue and white ones? Yeah. Everybody hates this country.
Apparently America doesn't sell well anymore.
I have this pink one.
Oh, that's nice. That I like that one. I've got some blue and green.
This was a Gen Con set?
Pretty.
Ooh.
And we have our own dice.
We do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Through Norse Foundry.
You can buy them right now.
They're gorgeous.
Except we do not have them.
Yet.
They're for you.
We sacrificed for
They're
all
for you
of
guys.
For all of you. America.
In other places.
Let's talk about last week.
Dice.
Let's talk about last week. Classic RPG goofing. Like, let's rest. Everybody cool with resting? Just want to walk up those stairs real quick.
Take a peek.
The other person walks up the stairs, not the one that originally suggested it, after you all decided to rest. That person triggers an encounter. And like, it gets really bad. And then it's all pretty clear. Just get out of the room. And more you kept piling in like Keystone Cops. And then you're
very lucky that we got out of that situation.
It was just so funny. It was, everyone was in agreement. We go to bed. Everyone was in agreement. And then Joe's like, what's going on
that
hallway?
These stairs?
We didn't even look up there. And I'm like, we're all like, we shouldn't go up there. It's a whole nother, we all said it's another encounter.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring up another question, which is,
was it fun?
Yes.
If
Joe
you
squirm.
Yes.
If I look up that set of stairs and there's a door, I'm going to be like, let's rest. Right. And I was thinking we were resting in this room, not in the, I forgot about the nice swanky aristocratic bedroom.
Suite.
The unused bedroom.
The unused bedroom. So I'm like, With no door there, I don't know what can just like come down these stairs. And so like, I want to take a peek and see if there's any kind of, you know, imminent danger. Is that like wildly overreacting? Because I can't think of an example of us ever getting like attacked in our sleep in any game I've played with Troy.
Legacy of Legacy. Oh, I was going to say on Legacy.
With Troy running,
yeah.
Where like literally during a rest, we got interrupted in the middle of the night with a full-blown attack encounter. Like, he just doesn't seem to do it.
You're metagaming me.
You're metagaming.
Yeah, you're metagaming.
But also,
Troy,
you were like, tempting.
I know, but it's metagaming to say like, there's going to be an encounter in that room. We can't even go up there.
But
right?
You're tempting fate where it's like, just go in a little bit. And don't explore at all. It's like, who knows what we'll see in there? And we saw a cage that was like busted open. So,
well, then it leads to more questions.
Because
then I was in reality, it's not crazy. It's not crazy to be like, it's an open corridor. Let's take a peek down the corridor before we go and rest.
Right. To me, that's not metagaming.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
But to me, it's metagaming to walk up, see a room that seems empty and be like, okay, the room's empty for now. We're good. Like, realistically, I felt like Asta would walk a bit further in to actually see what's going on in the room. And then, yes, an encounter was there, which is what we metagamed and assumed. But we got out of there, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we're lucky we did. I think that, in my experience so far, 2E hazards are pretty brutal.
Traps are brutal.
Yeah.
This was a complex hazard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really hard to, like, solve or beat or whatever, and they always seem to be a higher level than you in the games that we've been playing so far. They're pretty intense. Like Troy mentioned, he was like, when you did the knowledge check, he was like, you could dispel it, and this is actually something we have to talk about. And I was like, well, we can't dispel it. I mean, and it's not even just our build. Like, we're not third level. We don't have access to dispel magic yet. So I'm assuming the hazard's at least third level. If it is, it's hard to get it even with a second level dispel magic. What if it's fourth level? It's just almost impossible. You have to critically succeed. So it's really hard to beat these.
Dispel magic is a second level spell.
You have to be third level to get second level spells.
Yeah.
So we're not third level yet. So, you know, it's not something we could possibly have
at
this stage. I don't think any
class has dispel magic.
But also,
unless we spell. Unless we missed out on XP. We're not doing milestone, right? You're tracking XP?
We're doing it Troy style.
Yeah. He just makes it up when he feels like it. Well, and you know, a lot of it's like,
Let's go down.
Let's go down back there.
Goes on back there. I'm just wearing a shirt that ends here.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Let's look over. Oh, my God.
It's a hairless dolphin below.
What's going on down there?
Tiny little corset on the thigh.
Classic thigh corset.
One left corset.
Oh, it sounds
it's
so
in mourning.
Uncomfortable. I was going to say, though, it doesn't seem like after our Arcana checks, Dispel Magic wasn't the end-all, be-all. There's other ways to get around it, but agreed that, yeah, on first glance, the Dispel Magic is like, well, too high power for us.
Well, it sounds like it's either Dispel or Destroy the Trap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with hardness and all that
That's stuff. What I was saying is it looks like someone attempted to do just that, but it's still there.
Yeah.
So that's why I was saying, like, is this something that would just disable it temporarily since... Someone obviously made the attempt, but, you know, it came back, so.
And we didn't get to see what the rest of the room was. I wasn't able to see up toward the top.
Yeah, it would have been nice if there was just like a door, right? But it's not. It keeps going in some direction. So, yeah, it's very.
And, of course, now that I'm rolling your knowledge checks, you never know what is true.
Right.
I actually prefer this system.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the better way.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, it's a lot more work on the GM.
It's a little more work and it's,
I like rolling dice, but with the knowledge check, it's all.
You
can't
fun.
Help metagame enough.
False info is. It really makes you, it gives you pause.
Yeah.
Because it represents real memory. Like, is this thing a weak to cold or fire? I can't fucking remember.
You don't always know what you know and what you don't know.
Right.
I mean, if you're doing it by the book, it's every recall knowledge, every perception, every stealth, every deception.
Oh.
They're all GM rolls. So you don't really know if you did well or not on the roll.
The only drawback to that is the player under that system is almost never rolling dice.
Yeah. 100%.
Except in combat.
So you got to find a balance. Everybody's got to find a balance.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's interesting in games where you roll the GM rolls a stealth check, you know, and you're just like, I don't know if I'm stealthy or not.
It makes sense.
You know?
Like, it makes sense. I mean, you might know that you fucked up a stealth. Like, it's just like, well, I heard that.
Right.
I think it was the first app you were doing, like, there was like a society roll for Seven Arches. And so I pre-rolled all of that beforehand. And one of you critically failed and so got false information. But I just knew ahead of time.
You had the time ahead of time to do it. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you could also give note. I mean, unless you if you just fail, you give no information, right?
Like,
you
know, sure, sure.
You know,
yeah.
You don't remember.
Like, you don't know. You don't remember. What do you want to do? Let's talk about the end of last week's episode, because I imagine that's something we're going to want to address. You do finally get to rest after this trapped, burnt room with dedicated to like elf hate. You do get to rest. You set the guard dog out. You're taking turns giving watch. Zephyr goes to sleep eventually. Here's Brother Ramius's voice is transported back to her friend Ollie's funeral. But it's very, very different. She sees Lucky. Lucky turns into a stuffed animal. All the people around her turn into dolls and practice dummies. It's like remnants of her past and her like further past and her more recent past are clashing together with dolls falling to the ground. And then you hear knocking within the coffin. You go to try to struggle to get it open and a figure comes out. At first you think it's some sort of beast, but you realize it's just a figure wearing a mask. White fur and horns. You wake up in a cold sweat, lying in the unused bedroom, and there are some of your friends sleeping next to you. You're soaked. What do you do?
Oh, she like takes her hand and puts it to like the back of her head. Like, looks around, looks for Brother Ramius, but then, like, maybe remembers the dream and is like, oh, what's real? What's not?
How do you feel? I'm wondering.
I'm wondering if she's starting to, like, have a fever or feel sick.
Brother Ramius, I think that you are on watch here. And so, give me a perception. Do you even hear her wake up with a start?
Stirring.
Let's see. 16?
I would say you hear heavy breathing.
Okay, he'll turn around. Zephyr.
Hmm.
It's okay.
Hmm.
There is... Zephyr?
Oh.
It's okay.
We've been undisturbed. You can go back to sleep.
I don't feel good.
Oh, no. I don't. What do you mean? Like, are you sick?
I don't know.
Come here. Let me take a look at you.
I had a bad dream.
He's going to put a hand on her head to see if she's hot to the touch.
You were in it.
I was in it.
Yeah. Really.
And what happened in this dream? He's trying to get a sense if she has a fever.
She is. She does have a fever. And she's
crazy.
Soaked.
She's crazy.
You were at a funeral, but then you were also like a monster with like a white mask and fur and horns. And maybe she says that and like you remember your...
Yeah, he freezes.
What?
Sorry, say that again. Describe what you saw.
There was like a funeral. And it was Lucky's funeral, but then it was someone else's funeral. And there were dolls, and you were there, and you were giving the eulogy, but then you weren't. And then there was a coffin, and I opened it. And there was like a monster. And it had a mask, white horns.
Horns, yes.
Fur.
I saw the same thing in a dream. I saw it too. It was not at a funeral. It was not in a coffin. It was outside. It was at the abbey where I once lived for many, many years. And it had that beast-like face and horns.
Yeah, it was like an animal mask.
I hadn't told anyone about it. I had never considered it had anything to do with the gates or Kanipo or any of this.
Oh.
But maybe it does.
Oh. Or maybe... Maybe we're both just a little under the weather. No?
No, it cannot be a coincidence. It cannot. Hold on a minute. Let me make sure that you're not actually fighting something here.
I'm going to do a medicine check to see if she's exhibiting a sickness or if she just got riled up from a dream. that is a 23.
23.
Medicine.
She doesn't appear to be sick, but you do look at her wounds, and you think back to the pit, and you're like, that just seems like it'd be very difficult not to contract something in there with all those dead bodies and the decay. However, this seems to be a manifestation of like the fear from the dream.
Yeah.
And you just also get the sense that something has changed about her.
Here, take this. And he pulls over his water skin. Take some of this. You need some water. I don't think that you...
Is that how you drink?
you lead with your tongue?
You stuck her tongue into the bottle.
It's a really weird way to drink.
A little ineffective.
You know what? It's your water now. Mouth.
Exactly. Because Brother Ramius has this disease now, too.
Backwash. Full backwash.
Keep the water.
That's yours now.
He takes a sip, switches it around, spits it back into the...
Yeah, I don't want it.
All right.
You keep it.
And he dumps it. Something has changed about you, though.
Maybe it's from defeating that lady.
Perhaps.
Or something.
Yes. There is a...
And not from falling into the pit of spikes.
The funeral, it was Lucky's funeral that you saw?
Yeah, it was Lucky's funeral. And it was a few funerals. It was like... That memory, and then other memories, all mooshing together. And then, like, nonsense doll stuff.
What other memories?
Oh, just, you know, when people die. Just other people dying.
Did you have someone close to you pass away?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess we weren't really friends when he died, but, yeah... So it was kind of like his funeral, and you were speaking at it, even though you don't know him. You weren't there. And then it was Lucky's funeral.
Dreams can be very strange.
And then it was faceless people there.
This man, or boy, was long ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And you were close with him? Like, almost like family?
Yeah, at one point, I guess. Yeah. She's uncomfortable. She's It was unresolved, so she's...
I don't mean to pry. I simply mean to try to decipher what are the similarities. What brings this creature, whatever this is, into our minds, and in what situation does it happen?
Oh, yes, those similarities. Right.
Well, it was at a moment of great despair for me as well that this creature showed up. It was in a very painful memory of mine, where many people, I'm sad to say, died. It wasn't a funeral, it was a tragedy, a disaster that had happened, and several people died. And this is where this beast chose to make their appearance, in my dream. I'm not sure if it's connected, but I'm grasping at straws here.
Maybe. I guess it's just nice to hear also that bad things that happen to you, you still dream about sometimes. And we're not alone in that.
Definitely not, Zephyr. Definitely not. It is inescapable, really. I think about it all the time. In fact, it is the reason why I picked up such a heinous habit. Smoking and flay leaf, and it just gets my mind off of it, you know, for brief periods.
I just push the feelings down with my will.
Yes, you seem so unperturbed by so much that has happened, and I wondered if you were that strong emotionally, that controlled.
It is my goal, one of my goals, to, yeah, have a handle on all of that, be the master of, like, my whole body.
Yes, that is very good.
And I feel like that's part of it.
I think you're right. You know, I don't want to get preachy, but you've heard me speak of the Keeper, and the Keeper raised to, ascended to godhood through this understanding of enlightenment. And granted, the Keeper's focus is on the mind and on oneness with all living beings and the understanding of all these threads of everyone together. But he is also connected with Aurori. And Aurori seeks the enlightenment of the body as well. The pure control that is taught by, I'm sure, the masters and teachers that taught you.
Sorry. I was like, is this my
I was waiting too. I was like, holy shit.
It
started to swell, and I was like, this is awesome. I know this.
I was like, this is awesome copyright violation. Like, in my head just...
Joe was reaching for the volume. He was like, oh,
I know. I was like,
oh,
down.
No.
I'm like, what happened?
That was great.
That was perfect. That Aurori. Was awesome skit. Yeah.
Aurori, a focus on the purity of body leads to the purity of spirit, right? And I'm sure your masters spoke of this in your training. I've never asked you about it, but the way you carry yourself, you seem very, very well trained in that way.
Try to be, yeah. But these dreams lately and everything that's been happening, and then also not feeling powerful, not feeling like strong, just like, you know, the last few.
That is it. That's it. It's not a sickness. In fact, it's the opposite. I feel something has changed about you. And it is that you're stronger. You seem to... And something has happened that has grown your power. I can tell just by looking at you. I can feel it.
I don't know if you brought light into the room or not. Probably you didn't. You just went in there and they're sleeping. You didn't, like, turn the lights on to wake everybody up. But as light spills in from the other room, you notice that she looks more... ripped than usual. Like, you think back, maybe you've never really looked at her body per se, but she just looks like more muscular than you remember.
Is this a symptom of tetanus?
Maybe we should all tetanus.
Should we be watching for lost
dogs? Really rage into the spike pit.
This is a symptom of the awakened power feed, which now, since your deviant ability is the Titan Swing, you get to choose one of the awakened powers, both of which just mean you are getting, like, when you unleash that, you are stronger. You can either make someone bleed now, and that bleeding damage stacks as you get stronger.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or on a strike, you can push someone away because you're so fucking strong.
Wow.
That's very dope.
That's cool. That's super cool.
Which one to pick?
Choices. Why did this unlock now? Why?
Yeah.
The same thing happened to you.
When I saw him in my dream, I got the awakening. That's what I was thinking. I was like, you're going to get something awesome out of it.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so cool, too. Like, Joe, you knew, but also, like, Ramius knows that he got some, like, he got...
Well, that's why I was like, I can do this in character.
More powerful.
He actually knows from the dream.
I didn't make the connection of seeing that.
To that, and neither did I.
Or awakened.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be...
I know.
I did too. Yeah. I just thought you were sick.
Well, it could be both.
I thought you were tired. Things.
There is the danger that it could be an onset of one day, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we're
not
quite there yet.
Not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. But that's awesome.
Did you roll a knowledge check on that mask or that creature?
But no, I never did. I know. I just kind of kept it to myself. Yeah.
If you wanted to tell Talitha, I could roll.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about it now. The two of us have had the stream. Yeah, for sure.
Has everybody?
Where are we? We're at the end of the rest.
Slept?
Yeah, if you guys are done speaking, you do have that ability now to choose an awakened power. It's a fourth level feat. Feat four, I think.
It is. The awakened power. Free fourth level feat.
So you get that, and that allows you to unlock. And I think each power has multiple awakenings, so that you can get this awakened thing multiple times or take it at higher levels to unlock even more powers.
So cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, I would say that time passes, and eventually throughout your cycles of watch and rest, you're all awake. And of course, Talitha has Chame in a little chamois.
Buggles, while I was on watch,
he crawls out from under the bed.
Crawl out from under the bed.
Your new charge, became a figurine again. If you'd like to, I wrapped him up for you, so you don't have to look at it. But if you'd like to have him back,
and he sort of, cautiously, kind of like takes the wad.
Thank you, Talitha.
And he wants to look at it, but he doesn't. He just sort of quickly stuffs it into his pouch at his belt and springs himself up.
May I say, Buggles, I thought you were very brave yesterday.
It wasn't really me, I think, but thank you.
No, I mean at the end of the day, when you told the dog to keep watch for us.
Oh.
It's very brave of you. We appreciated it.
Thank you.
You did well, Buggles. I know that was difficult.
Thank you.
And he's just sort of nervous. He's sort of like pawing at the pouch, like at his hip, with the figurine in it. He's kind of like kneading it.
Asta wakes up too. She's curled up like a small dog on the bed. What did I miss?
Nothing. But I was just about to say something. I know this was difficult for you, Buggles, to command the dog. It's equally difficult for me, I find, to tell you all something that I've unfortunately been keeping to myself.
Is it money?
No, Asta. It is not money. I have nothing. Value.
You found some.
Silly me.
No.
I thought you were...
You inherited some.
Is it money?
It is not money related.
Oh, okay.
So sorry.
In fact, I should not be so hasty to dismiss. It could be anything.
What do you mean?
What?
It is money.
Even money?
It could be money.
It could turn out that this could be anything. Money.
Even a boat.
Well, we should all get some then.
It could be.
We should split it.
I regret that I did not mention this earlier, but some time ago, before we entered this place, I had a dream, a nightmare that I've had before, only this time there was a different element to it, a creature of some kind, or perhaps a masked creature, I can't tell, appeared in a dream, and before I thought it was only my own psychosis, but I fear that perhaps this is something that's related to what we're doing. And he looks at Zephyr briefly just to see if she wants to share anything. He's not going to like share
Zephyr's
on her
like
behalf.
Flexing in a mirror.
Yeah, do we notice a difference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's just like...
This is like what Peter Parker, like after he gets bit by the
spider. Exactly.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You look... She's just like, taller? You see this? I never had this.
Look at this tricep.
Zephyr, you look fucking yoked.
Right?
Yeah.
I saw the mask also. In my dream, the mask, monster man, maybe not a monster. White fur, horns. And I feel like maybe now if I unleash my anger in the right way, because I've done it a few times and it hasn't worked, maybe this time it'll work.
You know, we all, after returning from wherever we went, had some supernatural ability that we didn't have before.
Yes.
I also felt mine strengthen after seeing this figure. Zephyr seems to have had the same experience, and I wonder, Talitha, if you've ever heard of anything like this.
Can you draw me the creature?
It's long ago for me. Zephyr just dreamed of it last night.
You're such a good artist.
I think you should hand Zephyr a paper right now.
You're such a good artist.
You prove it, you're artistic.
You're the best
skill
of
here.
Us.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. But my memory is hazy from constant drug use.
You're the only
perhaps
one.
You can hand it to Zephyr.
The
chance to
one.
Sell lots of t-shirts.
Only one need a sketchbook.
It's really saving down on our art budget.
when Brother Ramius and Talitha are talking, like, you know, we all have these powers, you see Asta look kind of confused. What do you... You all have powers?
I mean, I found mine by accident. I don't know how everyone else did, but if I, like, unleash my anger in a sort of way, my limbs become, like, all different and elongated, and I become more powerful for, like, a moment. And it seems to have happened after going through the gate.
I don't think I have any.
And I feel like my newfound power now is going to affect that in the future.
She just looks at all of you looking at her. I don't think I have what you have.
You don't have a new power from coming from the gate? Even Bolan did. He could,
Asta, we are still learning what happened to every gatewalker as we go, but everyone that we've met thus far has experienced some sort of infusion of power that they can't explain. Perhaps it's something you didn't notice yet, or something that you did without realizing it was new?
She looks kind of, like, bummed out.
You're the only one.
Her hair bristles a little.
Could I roll a knowledge check on the masked creature thing that Zephyr and Brother Amy saw?
Yeah. If you think it sounds more magical in nature, do something arcana or occult. If it sounds more like a beast or a creature in nature, give me nature.
Let's do arcana.
Okay.
You gonna roll for me?
I will.
Plus 10.
Well, he describes it sounds like a...
like it's immune to all physical damage.
It sounds like it's immune
sounds
to
like
all
it's immune
physical,
physical, physical damage. Yeah.
Weakness 5, fire.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, the white fur, you think like, oh, maybe like a polar bear or something like that, but then you don't think of any polar bears that have horns like that. It does sound magical in nature, like not an actual beast. That this mask is trying to mimic. The way both Ramius and Zephyr describe it almost sounds like it's intentionally meant to frighten. So it could be an exaggerated version of some other creature, but it doesn't, the way they describe it, you don't immediately think, oh, that's a blah, blah, blah. It's very strange.
And
it almost sounds it almost sounds demonic.
It does. I mean, the way you describe it sounds demonic.
Yeah.
And I don't have any memory of anything. It doesn't like seem vaguely familiar to me. It's something I've seen.
No, nothing like that has happened in your dreams that you remember.
I don't know. Perhaps it is something that unites us as gatewalkers, something we encountered on the other side, or maybe not.
Perhaps I just haven't seen it yet.
It's not about you!
Oh, wow. Voice echoes down the hall.
Too much.
Asta just bows and walks out of the room.
Asta.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
She leaves the room. She's gone.
Back into the charred room.
She goes back to the shadow.
She runs into the trap.
She goes and sits next to the dead Shay.
I'm sorry, Asta. It almost felt like I was stepping out of character there.
Yes, it didn't really seem like you to leave.
No.
Almost like it didn't happen at all.
And it was.
She stands back up.
Shall we move on? Should we keep proceeding through the stump?
We know we have to deal with this trap.
There's also a door.
Oh, well, let's look at that first then, yes.
There's the fake door.
I'd forgotten.
The fake door is useless, though, right? We can't.
Yeah, the fake door is in the room with the dusty bed, which is now no longer dusty because you guys have been fucking around in it all night. But the fake door is up to the northernmost point of this map. And you guys already like knocked on it and listened, couldn't hear anything. Again, it seems like an abandoned project. But in the room where you fought the Shay, which, by the way, don't forget, you haven't really done an actual perception check.
Yeah,
because we ended the episode with that fight, and then last week it just kind of turned into something else.
We should do that.
So I don't want you to forget about that. But there is another door, because one door leads back into like a little hallway that leads back to the room where you fought the centaur. A door to the north leads to that dusty bedroom, and then there is a door to the east, which is just north of that staircase that leads to the trapped room. But give me a general perception on the room. You guys can roll it.
Ooh, 25.
Okay, so in addition to nobody else needs to roll. In addition to those notes that you found of like the strange transformations, whatever process they're going through, like cutting into people and trying to elongate their limbs, it's very, very strange. You do find that
evocative of what happens to you,
yeah,
Zephyr.
Yeah,
like now that we've talked about it out loud and we're looking back at the room,
seems
you see a picture of probably Maybelline, or their arms all the way down to her ankles.
Ew.
Like, my limbs don't quite look like this when this thing happens, but maybe
they were trying
to give them the powers we have?
Well, perhaps if Kanipo is searching for those who are quote-unquote worthy, and the original targets of his experimentation were elves, we who have passed through the elf gates have acquired something within us that makes us worthy to him. That would explain the mass Shay's anger at us for him, his attachment and fascination with us. Perhaps we are quote unquote worthy ourselves.
Maybe.
But those that came before us, were they unworthy? Decisively, yeah. All of them.
Not the ones who disappeared.
The ones that we believe died here at the base of this pit.
Perhaps they were worthy in some way as well. If these drawings are to be believed.
Yes. But was it the Shay that cut them up and destroyed them, experimented on them, or Kanipo, or both?
My theory is that the Shay is working for Kanipo as a member of his court, or their court.
Yes, I agree.
All right, let us proceed.
Finishing with the perception check, though, you find 5 daggers on the Shay's body. And also among the collection of knives and needles, you find 2 syringes that both contain a minor healing potion.
Oh, fair enough.
Who wants those? Maybe Asta and Zephyr?
I'll take one, yeah.
Okay, and I'll take a dagger. I don't have one.
Why not take one? Put it on my belt.
A dagger's a dagger for everybody.
I'll take a dagger.
Here, catch. Oh!
You get a dagger.
I'll take a dagger.
You get a dagger.
I'll take a dagger.
Catch. All right, yeah.
And then I'm going to listen at the door.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
19.
Listen at the door. Sounds like a large room, but you do hear this like low thrumming sound. It sounds further away. Kind of like this.
I don't. Thrumming, is it mechanical in nature or is it?
Maybe it does remind you of a sort of mechanical sound, but it's faint. It's further away. It's behind a door. Might be some sort of engine. Definitely something. I don't want to say living per se. It's like just something going on back there.
All right, I'll open the door.
You open the door.
Kunk. Oh, what is happening? I can only see a sliver of it.
What the heck?
Seems to be a tree over two fire pits and a bed. There's another bed.
Another bed. A lot of beds in this place. It's pretty cozy.
Just put a bed in every room.
You know, if you wipe this place out, you could turn it into a nice little B&B.
Yeah.
The Night Hold Inn.
Come to the Thinlands. From the Night Hold. We've got a big stump.
A portal opens up every Saturday night. You have to stay for a week. It is a large chamber that is split into...
Did he just give us information we didn't know?
Yeah, do we have to stay here for a week?
No, I just...
No, he's making an Airbnb.
Oh. Yeah,
it's like a minimum stay.
Oh, minimum stay.
Minimum stay.
Metagame.
Skid got it. Yeah, mainly for the educated people.
Yeah.
You can't... There are no Airbnbs in New York anymore.
Yeah, it's illegal.
There aren't, really?
It's illegal.
It's illegal.
We can talk about this later, but there's a whole law. So just
Let's stop right now and talk about it. this is a big chamber, and it's split into two levels. There is a wide staircase connecting the room's western half, which is what you're looking into, to the eastern half on the far side, which is like 20 feet higher. Okay? Now, the ceiling from where you're standing looking up goes about 40 feet. It's like 40 feet above the floor, whereas it's only about 20 feet on the raised portion of the room. You see work tables covered in books, beakers, strange reagents. All along the lower portion here, where you're close to. Now, on the room's raised half stand these two 10-foot-tall amber pods. They almost look like giant bug cocoons.
Oh my gosh, on Foundry, they're moving.
They are?
Yeah, they're like light, like shifting
like lava lamping
inside.
Oh, that's
messed up.
Yep.
I can't see anything.
Each of them is glowing softly with this orange light, which, if you look on Foundry VTT, is moving.
That's cool.
There is a miniature gray tree with white leaves hanging, just suspended in the air between these two cocoons, and its roots like reach out and twist around each pod.
So the pods are on the ground. The tree is...
The pods are on the ground. The tree is just kind of hanging there. It doesn't make any sense.
It's doing like parallel rings.
Basically. Yeah, it's like, still holding. And from your perspective, Talitha, you do see a door to the north and then another door to the south, which you would think the door to the south goes to around that alcove that Asta wasn't able to see because she didn't get that far into the room. So the door to the south probably leads to the trapped room, and then there is another door to the north, and as you mentioned, a small bed to your left.
I'd like to do perception to see if anyone's hiding in here.
Okay.
There seems like there's light, so that's it's helpful. 20. Dirty 20.
Dirty 20, you say. 20, eh?
20. What comes after 19?
Pretty good roll, Matthew.
Pretty all right.
Not quite as good as a 21. But still...
You don't see anyone. But you feel very uneasy. Just feel like you're being watched.
I feel like we're being watched. I don't see anything. We should proceed carefully.
Is this some sort of power source?
Could be a trap.
Yeah, is there a check I can do on the pods? Do I recognize them as a power source or
yeah, what's your arcana?
Plus 10.
It is unlike anything you've ever seen. It
unlike
looks
anything I've ever
it
seen.
It looks like some sort of. You look at the pods, and it seems like you could step into them.
Oh, portals!
Asta, like any large. Chance you want to step into one?
although we earned your power.
Although I don't have, although I don't have this knowledge, I know a previous party member of yours. A stove exploded on them. So no, I don't want to go near the glowing orange pod. I'd rather not.
She seems to have a strange connection with Lucky.
Should I walk into the pod? Perhaps I will gain my power.
Just examine the room.
In the pod?
Buckle said she'd gain her power, Talitha.
Yes. I've seen it in a vision.
I just want to belong.
Brother Amy is
saw it in a vision.
I am a psychic, you know.
Really?
I am.
Okay, I'll go.
Hold on. I want to watch this.
Wait, where's my Tinder twigs?
Are you inviting up to watch me walk into the pod?
I'd watch this sober.
Is there like a nature wall that you could make because of trees, maybe? Or is it just Arcana for...
some nature.
This.
Who wants to nature? You want to nature?
I want to
nature. I'll nature.
Nature it up. Is everybody entering 15. The room?
Good.
If you want to roll that, you got to come into the room. Yeah.
And also, do you want to roll it for us?
I have my bow out.
Why don't you guys roll it? You have your bow out. Let the record show. Let the record's bow.
Rapier out.
Okay.
How'd you do, Joe?
Unmentionable.
What did you roll?
Oh, 15 total.
Okay, Zephyr steps into the room, looks at this thing. It is some sort of apparatus. It's not a machine. You don't see any mechanical parts, but it's clearly was created for
some sort of magical engine
purpose. Everybody give me a perception check, except Talitha.
22 for Asta.
24 for Brother Ramius.
21 for Buggles.
8.
Okay. Talitha, you're in there. You're looking all around, maybe transfixed on this. Zephyr also transfixed on this double-potted tree contraption, thrumming. Doorways sort of inviting you into these two pods. And Buggles and Asta and Brother Ramius are looking all around, and you look up at the ceiling.
Oh no.
And you see a humanoid figure clinging to the ceiling.
What the fuck?
Like trying to be really quiet.
Wow.
And watching. It has almost colorless skin. Looks like a man wearing like a heavy looking lab coat.
It's also like Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man.
He turns his head towards you, and you see he has on, like, goggles. But the goggles or the eyes of this creature, like, extend out like eye stalks, like three-dimensional from its face. He looks like some sort of mad scientist. And he realizes that you see him. He says, "So, the heir apparents have ventured into the reproduction lab."
I thought it was eggs or something.
Are you perhaps here to have a look-see at my creation? I'll tell you this much. There is nothing so ingenious in your world or this. The Slim has been very pleased with my work thus far. They will no doubt love to see how I use what's left of you for my final experiments. Come now, let's have a look-see at you! And we'll be back right after this.
Oh, God!
It's 2024, and my New Year's resolutions are in full swing. I made many resolutions. I wanted to be CEO of a hedge fund and make $1 billion, $1 trillion. Those aren't going really well, but I'll tell you what is going well. My resolution to learn more Spanish with Babbel. You guys have heard me talk about Babbel, and I'm still talking about it because I really like it. It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
And I know what you're thinking. No, Sydney, I don't have time. Guys, I have 10 million drafts in my emails because my brain is so chaotically ADHD. And even I have time for their quick 10-minute lessons. Recently, true story, I helped a guy with the bus in New York City. He spoke Spanish. He didn't speak English. I explained the bus route, the next stops. There was a lot of autobus and próxima being spoken back and forth. And this is seriously thanks to Babbel. I have those real-life conversation skills in my brain, and they just started to flow out as soon as I started talking with him. And yeah, did he ask for my number and if I was married? Yes. Is that thanks to Babbel? I don't know. I'm not sure. So here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/GCP. Get 55% off at babbel.com/GCP, spelled BABBEL.com/GCP. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, remember how awesome it was eating breakfast cereals when you were a kid? Saturday morning cartoons, big bowl. I don't, because fun fact, my sister and I, we didn't have breakfast cereals in the house. Well, we did, but they were all from the health food store, and it was puffed barley, and it was awful. But I was always so jealous of the kids who did have the real stuff. And now it's like with the boring protein shakes and supplements and chalky protein bars and how bland adult cereal is, we have a way to recapture that magic. It's Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has reinvented your favorite childhood cereals to taste great, but each serving contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's a high protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free way to relive those moments watching your favorite cartoons. Plus, it's 140 calories a serving. Magic Spoon's chewy, delicious treats now come in 4 flavors: marshmallow, chocolatey peanut butter, blueberry muffin, and double chocolate. They're just like the marshmallowy treats you had as a kid, but with only 1 gram of sugar and 2 grams of net carbs. And they're packed with 11 to 12 grams of protein per bar. We were so excited to get the Magic Spoon coming back to us because it means we're going to get more in the mail, and we love it. I love the chocolates. I'm a sucker for chocolates. And, you know, it's great for, you know, obviously for breakfast, midnight snack, and, you know, pre-workout. It's awesome. And the treats are amazing. You can eat them on the go. It's just good for kids. Put it in the lunchbox. Amazing. Head to magicspoon.com/GCP to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And don't forget to add their tasty treats to your order. Be sure to use our promo code GCP at checkout to save $5 off. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/GCP and use the code GCP to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
And we're back. Roll for initiative.
Oh, man.
Let's have a look-see.
I just don't understand all the like double talk in here. What do you mean the heir apparent?
Remember we saw in the we're worthy. In the painting that
yeah, but then they're going to destroy us. I don't understand.
I think we have to continually prove.
Wait, what did
but
he?
That's not what he said.
What did he call us?
The heir apparent. Like
heir apparent.
It actually should be heirs apparent.
Production.
Heirs apparent. And we.
I don't want to put on airs.
But yet they're going to, you know, whatever, destroy us in order to feed this machine or something.
The latest painting. It seemed like Kanipa was being reborn as someone else.
Yeah.
Episodes like you die and his spirit passes.
Yeah,
through.
Maybe
I
the
don't
point
know.
Is to murder one of us or all of us for that
the power
like, we'll be reborn to give. Or they think that
I can't Kanipa follow. I can't follow.
While you're rolling initiative, I will show you this.
Oh, whoa!
It's clinging to the ceiling.
I have a feeling we're going to be dealing
with
an alchemist.
Mad scientist fashion right there.
Yeah.
He is dressed in the mad scientist uniform for sure.
And what look like Allbirds sneakers.
Purple pants and purple pants and brown lab coat.
Definitely Allbirds. All right. Let's get into it. What did you roll, Zephyr?
17.
17 for Zephyr. Respectable. 17. Not good. Respectable. Buggles.
That's good. 6.
Ooh. Better than Buggles. Talitha.
12.
Yikes.
No.
Looks pretty good now.
Hosta.
I rolled a cheeky 10.
Cheeky 10. You cheeky little 10. Brother Ramis, you usually have a pretty decent anish. That's where the rolling luck stops with you.
Yeah, he's pretty, well, he's very perceptive.
Yeah.
He's very perceptive. 21.
21. All very good. Not as good as mine, unfortunately.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's not fair.
It's ridiculous. I'm writing it down. I want to know the D20 roll of every initiative you roll. Because at least everyone in this one has been over 17.
Well, I think it's the type of thing that, like, when you are at least apparently outnumbering the opponent, I feel like they're bumping up the perceptions of the opponent to give them...
Oh, well, that's fine. I want to know what your die rolls are. I think they're super high.
They're all electronic.
electronic?
Or yes, electric. But we'll say Clinging Goggle Man.
I thought you were going to say they're electric.
They're electric.
They're literally electric.
Woogie, woogie, woogie. All right, so Clinging Goggle Man will go first. My goodness gracious. I think we'll start with some spells.
So glad we're all clustered up here.
Yeah, you guys are all just... perfect right there. Let's say Asta, Zephyr, and Talitha. Three scorching rays come flying at you.
Whoa.
I'll start with Asta. It's going to be a 31 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Crit.
Yeah.
Crit on Asta, and then on Talitha, natural one.
Oh. Hey, that works.
And then Zephyr is going to be a 25 to hit.
Regular hit.
Regular hit, not a crit. All right, so let's
deal. Are we doing fan fumbles?
It is a... yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that fan fumble would come before the third ray.
Right. So we'll deal with, we'll go
unless, okay. Unless, I don't know how Scorching Ray works in second edition. I think it's probably been remastered out, but is it like
all at the same
two
time.
Actions and you fire three rays?
It's three actions for three rays.
Okay. So that, that third ray is a different action. Maybe it is.
It's three different attack rolls. So the way that, let's see what happens and we'll interpret it. Wow. This is brutal. So because I fired more, two or more rays, the damage goes up to 4d6 and for you, it's going to be doubled. So, all right, very bad roll. 22 points of fire damage, and those were bad rolls.
Ugh. I'm almost dead.
Yeah.
Okay, and then do you want to tell me what the fumble is, and we'll figure out how this...
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay.
Thank you, Tyler, from San Antonio, Texas. This one is called Brain Scramble.
Hi, Tyler.
Help us.
You miscast... your spell.
Yes.
Oh.
And your magic goes awry and scrambles your brain. Your character forgets how to speak effectively for 1d4 rounds.
Yes.
You can't cast spells requiring a verbal component.
Oh. Oh.
Which means the third ray could not get off.
Oh my gosh. 1d4 rounds.
1d4 rounds, four rounds.
Oh. Oh, wow. Shit. Wow,
that is enormous.
That is enormous.
Thank you, Tyler.
Now, we talked about this off air. I was asking you, like, what's going to happen when someone, like, fumbles mid-John or attack of opportunity causes something like it was in the middle of
condition.
This action. Yeah. You know.
This is a made-up condition. But
it's a made-up condition. But anyways, it's going to be...
It says effectively silenced, capital S, silenced. So I that's a 2E.
Yeah, I'll have to look at silence, but I would say that, like, because this is going to affect the rest of this round, that's at least two actions of this round. Everyone will realize this is round one of him not being able to use verbal components.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what a horrible, horrible thing. Now, the good thing about Scorching, well, I don't even know here with Scorching Ray.
The way I'm it's Blazing Bolt in the remaster, by the way. The way I'm
I wouldn't know.
Well, I'm looking at the player core. The way I'm reading this is that the three rays get fired at the same time.
Okay.
Rather than. So it's like the third way.
It's part of a one.
Does it also say in the spell if it has verbal and somatic components?
That's what I wanted to look at because it's like the 1-3 action is based on rays.
Doesn't say anything about the components. It's got the attack trait, the concentrate trait, the fire trait, the manipulate trait. Its traditions are arcane and primal.
Oh, somatic verbal.
Okay.
There we go.
But
there we go.
I mean, it says somatic verbal. Yeah, so this particular one, I'm looking at Scorching Ray, of course. I don't know, components might work differently in the remaster. But anyways, I'm going to have that damage hit.
It says for each additional action you use when casting the spell. So I think it's one united three action.
Yeah, that makes sense.
15 points of fire damage to Zephyr.
Ooh, Matthew. Whoa.
Matthew argued for that.
Oh,
Matthew argued for that.
And you see, after those two go off, He wanted to like continue dissing you, and now he yeah. Which sucks because I would have loved to roleplay during combat. All right, so that is the end of this gentleman's turn. It is now Brother Ramius.
Oh dear.
You see them get lit up. Asta teetering with a couple hit points left.
Spiders four. Are over half down.
4 hit points.
4 hit points left.
Oh, I lost half of mine. I mean, we've got our shots.
Yeah, the other thing I'm realizing, just because I was complaining off air about some things that are more difficult in the remaster, I did also lose Shocking Grasp no longer exists.
Yes.
They changed it. The equivalent is a spell called Thunder Strike.
Electric Slide.
Cha-cha, real smooth now. I don't know what that means. But there's a Thunder Strike, but it's now a reflex save for the Thunder Strike, so I can't use it for my spell strike. You can't, it has to be an attack for the spell strike. It can't just be like a reflex save spell. Pretty sure. I'm looking into it, but if you see me staring at my computer, this is why.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this.
What is the remastered equivalent of silenced?
That's a good question.
I think there is one.
Quieted?
Because I don't see silenced anymore, because I think, I don't think components are a John. Am I misreading
no,
that?
No, components are a John.
They are.
But silent, I'm not sure. We got to figure it out. But silenced is not something that would be changed in a remaster, I don't think.
Yeah, because I see it goes right from sickened to slowed.
It's not a condition. It was never a condition in the first edition of 2E, I don't think. Silenced as a condition. So anyway, I'll look into it, see what I can figure out. But maybe deafened? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be deafened.
Might be the better way to think about it.
Like, I'm looking at the silence spell. The target can't use sonic attacks, nor can it use actions with the auditory trait. This prevents it from casting. So yeah, the silence spell.
It doesn't affect any of your numbers or anything. So there's really no reason to apply it as a condition.
Yeah, I don't think it's a condition. I think obviously these are made up. It's acting like the silence spell.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay, Brother Ramius, seeing the scorching ray, is going to... First thing he's going to do is he's going to be taken aback with just a straight shock of fear as all around him these fire rays get shot down upon him. So recently talking to Zephyr about all of, you know, the fire and all of his friends dying and everything like that, and I think it messes him up. And he's going to go Buggle style on this and take the frightened one condition.
Oh,
immediately
okay.
Off the jump.
Wow.
Just being surrounded by scorching rays. And he's going to reach out like a shaking hand and try to help Zephyr. And he just flashes and he just sees one of his sisters in this burning Abbey, yeah, trying to help her with mundane means as it was burning down. And he's going to do battle medicine on Zephyr. And really, really need a good roll here, Zephyr. I'm so sorry. Okay, I got it. So that is a successful battle medicine for 7 hit points. And then he is going to cast heal on Asta with the 2-action version.
Dope.
Just confirming, battle medicine is one. Yes, battle medicine is 1 action. So then he will cast heal on Asta. And that is going to be 15 points.
Nice.
Of healing.
Thank you.
And his heart is just like pounding out of his chest. He's praying desperately to his God, and he can't move. That's all of his actions, so he's done.
All right, it is Zephyr's turn. Zephyr, the fire is just crackling away on your rippling muscles.
My newly tensed muscles. Is he still up on the ceiling?
Yes.
Cool, so he's...
What was that?
That's what it looks like.
So he's definitely more than 30 feet away from me, because he's 40 feet up onto the ceiling.
Yeah, because 40 from where you guys are standing. And also, he's in dim light, because Brother Ramius's light is not extending up to it's there.
But the light from these little pods?
Not enough to illuminate him. So it's just going to be a flat check, right. Which is at least DC 5.
So I've got my bow out, so I go into my monastic archer stance. Flurry of blows with a long bow.
Okay. And is there a flat check?
There is a flat check.
Why?
Because it's even dim light.
The orbs don't produce light?
It doesn't. Not so much that it illuminates it past dim from
Damn.
Where he's clinging. Now, a couple things. Remember, we're going to roll the flat checks first. it has an ability that raises the DC to 7.
Oh, that is such a cool ability.
It's called Shadow Blending. So because of Shadow Blending, while concealed in dim light, it's going to be a flat check of DC 7.
Got to get light on this son of a bitch.
So give me the flatty first.
Flatty.
How high up is he?
40 feet.
7.
Oh, 7. All right.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And then I guess roll the first attack, so the and then we'll do another flat.
First attack is a 11.
Oh, my okay. God.
That's a bummer.
Natural 3.
That is a miss.
Back to this, huh?
Wow.
Matthew, why are Matthew. You coming at me today?
All right. It's cold.
Strike 2.
I was like, when did I come? All right,
yeah, I have been coming
two.
At you today.
All right, flat check number 2.
Now the
two.
Flatty.
You're as cold as ice.
That's what I thought.
3.
Oh, my God.
No.
So you just rolled 7-3-3.
Yeah, maybe I did roll 7-3-3. What's it to you? I also just like... You rolled a 19 just like this for
right,
no reason.
So...
Asta, I'm sorry I didn't spend more time just healing you.
All right, so that was one action.
Still want to walk into the orb?
Don't be mean. I'll walk into the orb.
I'll walk into that orb so fast it'll make your head spin.
Every episode, it's like, what's going to get Francis?
Yeah, what's going to make Francis laugh?
All right, so that's one action. I guess I want to spread out a bit into the room. So I'll move Zephyr.
Apologies.
Yes.
Is monastic archer stance an action to enter into?
I did. So that was one action.
So saying the flurry of blows is
one action.
And then
you got
flurry
one
of blows
left.
Of two things is one action. So now I'm going to get out of this group that we're in. Even though this thing can't do somatic spells, maybe he has something else.
And now I'm wondering if it actually would be useful to stay clumped together, because if he's going to have to come down to us to attack us... We could all get off hits.
I was wondering if we hit him real hard, maybe he'll fall from the ceiling.
I could not move and try some check.
No, I think you're right to be wary of in case he has a spell that doesn't have a somatic component. But
typically, being grouped up is no good. He's also got vials on his.
That's true. I think he's an alchemist.
He's giving alchemy vibes, so if he can launch stuff,
those goggles,
throw bombs,
those goggles.
Yep, right. Yeah, so I move out the way.
Move out the way.
Move out the way.
Okay, is that your John?
That's all I have.
Okay. Talitha.
It's my turn. okay, Talitha will sheath her rapier, draw her crossbow.
Okay.
And then move down, or move up into the other portion of the room.
Yes, get up there. Put the pressure on.
Those pods pulsating in front of you.
She basically can get to the top of the stairs.
Okay.
That's my turn.
All right, Talitha, get to the top of the stairs. You look up and you see this figure bathed in shadow. It is Asta's turn.
All right. So, with the spells I have prepared, again, talking about the remaster, I do have Thunder Strike because it used to be Shocking Grasp, and I was able to use it with my Spell Strike. I can no longer do that because it's not a spell attack anymore. It's a reflex save.
Oh.
So you can't do that with the spell strike. It's okay.
Yeah.
I still have it prepared, so I'm just going to use it now. I'm just going to...
And you can hit him from range.
I can hit him from... Now it's range. That's the big change.
It's just crazy to think like Della, how much of a
I mean, it's a classic
shocking grasp
thing.
Into the spell strike. And I can...
It's so good for a magus, but I understand they changed it to range because I'm sure it's not as helpful.
Is there an equivalent magus spell that's just like... You're like, all right, that was
OP?
No, not OP. I'm just like, in the remaster, this is the standard spell strike spell.
Oh, you there's know, multiple of them.
There's a bunch of cantrips that are really great, like Gouging Claw.
Yeah,
is
just,
great.
There just isn't, I don't think there's a first, one that's electricity-based.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. It's cool because Asta is electricity-based. Like, she has the electric tail stuff. So I was like, that's cool, but I'll find something else. So anyway, I'm going to cast the spell.
Okay, and is it an attack roll, or it's just I have to roll?
It's a reflex save now, so...
Are you wearing anything made of metal?
Oh, nope, padded armor.
Goggles.
Goggles.
The goggles.
Goggles.
Let's see what they're made out of.
Your vials
goggles.
Have
what
metal
are they?
Caps.
They wood goggles. Goggles.
They're wood goggles.
Those boots looked steel-toed, just saying. Tell me an alchemist isn't wearing any metal at all.
Assuming they're an alchemist.
Belt.
I'm seeing padded armor.
Yeah, but the goggles. I don't think they are.
Whatever.
Armor.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
I shoot him in the face.
Yeah, it is a minus one if you...
Reflex save.
Reflex save? All right. Let's see if this dude clinging to the ceiling.
Yeah, let's see if he has good reflex.
Decent reflexes.
He's going to be like a spider.
19.
Yes, you half. So it's going to be half.
Bad roll, by the way.
But it's going to be one.
I'm not surprised.
Bad roll.
1d12 electricity and then 1d4 sonic.
Sonic boom!
So that's going to be 4 electricity.
Ow.
And.
Ow.
That's going to be 3 halved, 1 sonic.
Okay.
And
is
then,
the other one halved?
Yes, I already halved it. And then after that, you see Asta move her foot back. And she goes into her arcane cascade.
Oh, I like that. Like scrapes the foot across the dirt. It's arcane cascade.
And that is her turn.
Buggles.
Buggles is going... He's going to unleash a frostbite attack, spell type attack with his mind. Give me a will save or a fortitude save.
Okay, and there's no attack roll.
No.
So you just... Can do it. All right, fortitude save is going to be a 16.
That's a fail.
Amazing. All right.
I rolled the same thing I rolled for my reflex.
Should have done a fortitude. Way worse at that.
All right.
Definitely should have.
That's 4 points of cold damage.
That is icy cold.
Nice.
And I, with my third action, I am going to just raise my shield.
Scream.
Raise your shield. Okay. Great. That's the end of round one. We go to round two. It is Clinging Goggle Man's turn.
Clinging Goggle Man.
Clinging Goggle Man, who is silenced.
We'll never know his name. He'll never be able to tell us.
Well, in 4 rounds.
Four rounds,
we can say, what's your name?
What's your name?
Hey, what's your name?
Okay. Well, this is really, really interesting. All right, so what I'm going to do here is
we really choked Troy up. He was not ready to be silenced.
I'm going to kind of move towards the back of the room along the ceiling.
Ugh.
Touches his goggles, does something with the goggles, and just kind of moves to the back of the ceiling and just stands there, kind of hides in the back of the ceiling.
Like not kind of hides hiding. Or hides?
Not actual. Actually, you know what?
Action.
He's in clear view on the ceiling. How is he going
to
hide?
He's in dim light. He's got a shadowy form. If you have an excuse to kind of hide, you could, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I usually don't do it because it's such a pain in the ass to track. He's obviously right there. Be a stealth check. You know, so basically now if you attack, you roll a perception to see if you can, like, see it.
On top of the flat check?
No,
well, if he's hiding, you would have to do a seek roll to make him concealed instead of hidden. Hidden is a DC 11.
Even though he's in plain sight, like, that's the tricky thing. Like, I roll to hide, right?
The only reason that this would work is if you're saying this creature has an ability that makes him be able to blend into shadows in this way.
Yeah, or if there was cover or greater cover.
To each of our perceptions.
Yeah, it's just that I'm not going to do it. It's pretty obvious. There's nothing. If there was something on the ceiling, I thought maybe I could sneak behind. I could play around with this. But no, he's just going to kind of go into the corner there. And I've got one action left. I'm going to go ahead and just pulls out a dagger, throws it at Talitha.
We have line of sight on each other from where we are.
A dagger in his hand. He has a dagger in his hand. I'll do that. But then if I want to use a dagger again, I've got to draw it.
So the orbs and the pods in the tree are not blocking us. I can see you.
Yeah, because he's on the ceiling. He's in dim light. He's concealed.
But I have a direct line.
You have a direct line. And the direct line of dagger comes down.
Slow down.
Right.
I don't think you have the range, by the way.
This whole thing, this whole turn, has gotten a little out of control.
It has.
You've said 19 things.
What
when he touched
doing?
His goggles, Cyclops.
One style. Action.
One action.
You also
then he moved.
Moved to the corner.
Two
Second
actions.
Action.
Pull out a dagger.
No, had a dagger in hand.
How did he have a dagger in hand? He said he was clinging to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Ceiling.
Also, the dagger's out of range. You can only throw a dagger 10 feet.
You get a penalty.
Yeah, you take a penalty.
I'm just going to stay there. Fuck it. I'm not even going to pull out a dagger. I need both hands to cling. Yeah, fuck it. All right, I'm just going to stay up there. That's gonna be the end of my round. I need to wait out this silenced. It is Brother Rabius' turn.
Ooh, okay. This is tricky.
Got an opportunity here.
What a game changer. A game changer.
Yeah, big game changer. I do have an opportunity here, but it is a weird situation. I wanna try something here that is gonna make everybody angry, I think. I am going to boy. What do you think my... Can I see him?
I would say that you can see him. He's concealed. You kind of can see the shape. That's the way I imagine it. Like,
I can see the
shape.
Try
to attack it, you might miss.
Okay. Well, then, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. So this orb that is... The orb itself, it's large enough to fit a person inside of it?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like one person could
fit. And it's hovering up off the ground?
The tree is. The pods are on the ground.
The pods are on the ground.
Yeah, the tree is just kind of...
And he's up...
I mean, if you look at this thing, it very clearly looks like something.
Yeah. And he is...
And he has even used the term reproduction chamber.
Yeah. And he is 40 feet.
They're balls.
On this. Oh, I got it. The tree's balls?
The tree balls.
Uh-huh. Tree's balls.
Trees
he's
nuts.
40 feet up on
I
the
have
ceiling.
To go.
Trees. There's the title
trees
of the episode.
Nuts. Tree nuts.
They have tree sticles.
There it
I'm
is.
Allergic to tree nuts.
So that's what tree nuts are.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
What do you want to do? We're done riffing.
We're done riffing. Brother Ramius is going to... He is going to cast... I'm going to cast light on the...
This is what he's doing up there, by the way.
Yeah, it's like... Ah.
On the guy.
Well, I don't want to cast it on the guy, because, first of all, it needs to be an object. Secondly...
His goggles.
It needs to be something that isn't concealed, because I'm not going to roll a flat check. Oh. So, I basically want to cast light on the, like, a plank or part of the ceiling that's right by where he is, essentially.
Okay, and you can do that from range?
It's got 120 feet of range.
Why don't you cast it on the tree?
Because I felt like the tree is too low. I needed to be within 20 feet of him. So the way he was describing it, he said the balls are on the ground, and the tree's nuts
He's
are
old.
On the ground,
This
Matthew.
Is an old tree, all right?
He's sensitive about it. They used to be up there.
They used to be all the way to the ceiling. That still work.
I don't think that's how they work. I don't think they were up the ceiling. I don't think that's how they work.
That's a sapling.
I mean, just if you're listening to this, please just pop on to the YouTubes for a second and take a look. I mean, this is why this joke works so well.
So phallic.
I'm just trying to draw something that I can put light on.
Yeah, so just draw something. Yeah, exactly. Right there. And
a dick?
Put more balls.
And put the light spell on it. And then you remove it from Brother Ramius.
Is that something that happens with age? A little flowers blossom on the end?
Yes.
You'll learn. All right, so I'm going to take the light off you, and I'll figure out how to put a light on them.
Great. Thank you. And then I'm going to say, there, through the light, Zephyr, get him. And I'm going to cast Guidance on Zephyr.
Nice.
Sweet.
Guidance on Zephyr. Well,
and that is Brother Remus.
Oddly enough, it's Zephyr's turn. I'll figure out how to get it on there, but in the meantime, this thing is bathed in light. You will no longer have to roll that.
Is he blinded?
His goggles, his infrared goggles go white.
Turn it off!
All right, so no flat check, and I get a +1 to my first roll. For Flurry of Blows.
Come on.
With my bow.
Come on.
Here we go.
Flurry of Blows.
Let's my go. Bow. Oh, that's meth. 24.
Boom shakes legs.
Hit.
Boom
nice.
What did you just say?
Boom shakes legs.
Boom shakes legs.
Boom shakes legs.
I hear boom shakes leg is lovely this time.
One.
Boom shakes legs.
Eight. Max damage.
Oh!
8 points of damage.
8 points of damage.
And then my next hit.
Isn't there a save? Don't you stun or something? Was this a John?
Oh my god, I forgot.
Are you in your monastic stance?
You're in your monastic stance. This was a
flurry of blows.
Blows. You hit. So
wait, did you get in the monastic stance?
And it's stunning fist. Yes.
All right.
I got a monastic monastic archer stance last round.
All right. And
so
stunning fist has the incapacitation, John. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let me just roll this.
So roll a natural one, and then that's a failure.
And this is reflex or will? Or fortitude.
Oh,
fortitude.
If this fortitude.
Oh, yeah, and you're 14.
28. He's totally fine.
Whatever.
That's a critical, critical success.
Yeah, which means you're
stunned. You get stunned.
That's not what that means.
Look it up.
Remaster.
Remaster. Joe, relax.
Apparently, you haven't read the remaster.
Remaster.
Remastered these
Joe just so disrespectful.
Boss.
How dare you?
You said it with such confidence.
Yeah.
What did you say?
All right, so the second hit.
Ooh, math. It's 21. 21 to hit for the second hit.
21. You're within range of your whole thing. You don't take any penalties.
It's a longbow, so it's 100 feet.
Yep. Yeah. Droid gave you the side eye.
Yeah. What about the range?
Goggle eye.
That's a minimum damage.
Oh.
1 point of damage, but it's all inclusive, you know? It's
sure.
all one thing.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so that's one action. And then is there any. Can I use, like, knowledge in nature or something? Or maybe acrobatics, just to learn more about this creature and, like, what else it can do?
You can do. Maybe society. It's going to be a tricky society one.
I'm trained in society.
Or maybe a cult. It's going to be hard. Like, this is obviously a very specific type of creature, but I can see.
I'll do society.
Okay.
Society.
I can tell you right now, it's going to be tricky.
All right, well, it's a 16.
No, you don't know what this is. The creature itself looks familiar, but you don't know.
Cool. Let's just do one more hit.
Yeah!
Why not? Let's 20. Just do one more and a negative two.
Let's see what happens.
What could happen?
You might hit. You might fumble.
That's a crack. Oh, whoa. No, it uncracked.
Oh, how nice.
15.
15 total is a miss.
All right.
That was really weird, though.
Yeah, I know. You just see that?
That was some Matrix.
It's like a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah. It's freaky.
Talitha, you are up, and you can see this thing. It's bathed in light.
Okay, we're going to do devise a strategy.
Yes!
There you go. Devise that shit!
I will not be taking that attack.
Because
I rolled a natural one.
Oh.
So instead, I will take my... I will, however, use my known weakness to do a recall knowledge.
Well, no, don't even grab a die.
All right.
Now let's talk about what you want to know.
Right.
I thought I would ask about the wall climbing.
Okay. Troy, is that something he could get...
Can you guys see the light now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Is that something he could get information on with a successful roll?
Yes.
All right, so then you roll it.
Okay, what's your arcana?
Plus 10.
Plus 10. Okay. That is a spell known as spider climb.
Oh, so it's it's all
yeah. So yep. Just use your dispel magic that you have, and he'll fall right down.
The one we used
you can
in the
see
room.
Little yep. clinging hairs coming out of his hands and his feet as he's holding onto.
It's
the walls.
Funny you made the Spider-Man reference the second we saw him.
Yeah, yeah, that's wild.
Well, also we talked about
and it was the second Spider-Man reference.
Yeah,
unrelated.
Big fans of Spider-Man here.
Love Spider-Man.
That's true.
I love Spider-Man.
We have one.
You're in Queens.
Yeah.
You're in Queens. Do you want to do anything this turn?
Oh my god, that's so sad.
Well, I'm not going to take an attack.
Okay.
I am, however, I'm going to use another.
Must be nice.
I'm going to get a closer components. Look at the twig and berries we've got going on here.
Oh, go on.
Are there? Do there appear to be doors in the orbs?
You could call them doors. They definitely close, and they are open. They're not like perfect rectangles, but you do see like plating that's intertwined with the branches, like someone could step in and then close the door or have the door closed from outside, but it's all kind of misshapen. There's not like a bench in there. It's like looks like someone could stand in there and stand in the other pod.
Are the orbs in any way, are they kind of...
Glass?
Crystalline glass. Yeah. Are they breakable?
I imagine they would be, but it's nothing you could do within 6 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to hack at it for a while to try and take it down. You could roll a check on it to try and discern what this thing does. That would be an action.
Yeah.
It's just a recall knowledge on
this. Yeah. I already rolled on it, didn't I? Up at the top.
Did you?
I don't remember if you did. I think you
thought
I did, but I can't remember what you rolled.
Yeah, you rolled for me.
That's right.
That's the GM rolling a concealed check doesn't make it harder to know if you can roll to recall additional knowledge.
But is that what you were trying to figure out what it does?
I was just saying, seeing what it was at all. But he told us now he told us to reproduction
chamber.
Maybe you allow me a new roll.
Yeah, you almost get the sense, just kind of retconning a little bit to your original check because you did roll well. It feels like there is some way
that the pods are connected, that there is a transferral of something between one pod to the other.
Yeah. Nepo steps in one side. Yeah. Okay. My thinking about it was like, can I do something that would clearly he cares about this machine or this apparatus, as you said, and if I could, you know, do something to it that would bring him down to us.
That's like, exactly what I was going to do.
But if it's not actually damageable, then
yeah. You also like don't quite know what the power of this thing is. It might be something. It seems like
we want to use.
It seems like something that could work, but you really don't. You don't have enough time to really dig into what's going on here.
Yeah.
Maybe if you sleep in his bed, he'll get real angry. Come down. You just get in there, curl up.
Yeah. We sit on the bed with our outside clothes on.
Fart on his pillow.
Ooh, don't do that.
Sleep in his bed, eat his porridge.
Yep.
Yes.
Break his bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to. I'll use my. There's nothing I can do to this machine.
Break his bong.
That's what Goldilocks did. Just broke his bong. Yeah, like, I'm all.
Not getting high anymore in here, bear.
No.
Stupid bear.
I'm going to use my final action to aid. Aid Zephyr.
Aid Zephyr.
And I'm going to use the knowledge I've been rolling and my position here in the room, the information I gained about the spider climb to help Zephyr target him.
She needs help. It is Asta's turn.
All right. Going with Talitha's line of thinking, even though you didn't say anything out loud, Asta had the same exact thought.
You guys have been hanging out so long, you can just read her thoughts.
Finish each other's sandwiches, Matthew.
That was really... I'm disappointed in you.
I thought it was a little obvious to go for the frozen one.
High and dry. Anyway.
You're supposed to say something like letters of intent. You just say something weird where it wouldn't have been what she said.
Yeah.
She was quoting Frozen.
I know.
I knew
it. You have a daughter. You have a baby. Of course, I was quoting Frozen.
I saw Frozen before she did.
Asta runs up.
Wow, you lured that over her.
Yeah, I
didn't see it at all.
You seen this movie? I saw this before you.
I saw it before. It was cool.
Yeah.
And now I'm shutting it off.
Oh, what? This is your first time seeing this?
What is it? Your second year on Earth?
Spoiler: her parents die. In like the first 10 minutes. Enjoy your movie.
Oh, spoiler.
My friends have to shave me on stage.
Daddy's gotta go.
That was my first memory of father. What do you want
to
do?
Asta runs up to the left-hand orb ball.
Yep.
And her tail is like crackling with energy. And she reaches her katana out toward it. And she says to the crawling man on the ceiling, "Come down, or I'll destroy it." And she wants to see what he does.
Okay.
And she looks like she means business.
Wow. Wow. Give me an intimidation check.
Yeah, it can
be. I was going to say, is there a die roll with that, or does she just say she means business?
Like, that's pretty cool.
Free action, I mean business, but I'll do a die roll. I'll give you a little die roll.
I think it'll be an actual action if you want to do that.
That's an 18 intimidation.
Okay.
And I'll have you know, I do have the demoralized, intimidating glare. I didn't use it, but even if I didn't say anything, I don't even need to.
That is good to know.
I'm really glad for that 4 seconds of the show that just happened right there.
She didn't need to say anything, but she did.
That is an action, just so you know.
Fine.
And that's going to be against the fort or the will DC.
Will DC.
But are you trying to demoralize or are you trying to...
I'm trying to intimidate. I was doing an intimidation.
Doesn't buy it.
Okay.
Hi, and he's looking at you.
Fine. Then my tail crackling with energy, I shoot him.
The gun?
Yes.
Jesus.
I turn. My tail is holding a gun. God,
Where did I get that?
I'm going to shoot my foxfire at them.
Okay.
Foxfire.
It's not going to do it. 11.
Okay.
So that's it.
Good run.
That's my turn.
What is your foxfire?
Foxfire is an ability I have as a kitsune. My tail crackles with electricity, and I can shoot. It's like a cantrip. I can shoot a bolt of electricity.
And is it one action?
One action.
And is it like 1d4 damage?
1d4.
Yeah.
It's my only one action spell drawn.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's worth throwing out there as a third action.
He didn't care about the balls.
Yeah. I threatened his balls, and he did nothing.
He didn't even care.
I've tried to kick him in the balls. He doesn't seem concerned.
Nailed a katana up to them. He didn't even flinch.
Buggles.
Wow.
Buggles is going to unleash his psyche.
Oh,
the Kulakan.
Yes. Boom.
Fiery aura surrounds him. And he, with his, he like elbows Ramius out of the side in his language.
Just out of my way, lesser creature.
And he's going to run up to the top of the stairs.
It's the Koala Khan.
And
boom,
another frostbite, but fire damage. So this like globe of flames, zoom, like
blue flames.
A fortitude save.
Love it.
Fortitude save.
This is amped, by the way.
24. 21.
Okay, that is a basic success. So that is 5 points of fire damage.
5 points of fire damage.
And I get 5 points of temporary hit points. I get 5 temporary hit points.
Whoom. All right, Buggles.
Awesome.
Comes, does some damage to this guy, and it is his turn. Doom. Doom. Deep. Donk goes all the way to the other side of the room to get away from that light source. Hovers in the corner. Is there like a total defense type thing in 2E? I'm trying to remember, like where you like take an extra stance to buff your AC.
If anyone would know that, it would be me.
I know, and I can't.
I'm pretty sure that there is not a defensive fight defensively or total defense. I don't think I know of.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like
you could take cover.
I've been.
Yes, you can take cover. Yeah. That's a good one.
Right, yeah. I mean, there has to actually be cover to take from, and I would be inventing it at this point. Yeah, I mean, I'm completely hamstrung by this. There's things I can do, but it's just, at this point, because you're not doing a lot of damage to him, it's smarter for me to just bide my time.
And then just trounce everybody.
So that's going to be the end of my turn. It goes to Brother Ramius.
Here we got to deal as much damage in this time as possible. Mm-hmm.
Brother...
That's 2 rounds out of 4.
That's 3 rounds out of 4.
Does the first round count?
That's what you said.
Yeah, but then I let the damage go through, so.
Right. Okay, got it. All right, so 2 rounds through. Brother Ramius is going to keep the light on him. So he's just going to cast light once again over near his area to make sure that he is bathed in light.
Oh, that's so smart.
And he will... I love this. It's just like moving the light around the room. Never done anything quite like this before.
Is Dancing Lights a spell in Dewey? Or the remaster?
I'm sure it's not in the remaster, but I wonder what... it was. It was in Dewey, so I'm curious what they did with it. I'll have to look into it. In the meantime, I've got another action.
It's called Here Comes the Sun.
And I'm going to remove his frightened condition at this point. It's been 2 rounds, and there's been no fire on him around him, so I think he's getting back into it, and he sees that this is working against the creature now. What to do with that last action with... you know what? Well, let's go to Talitha this time, and he's going to cast Guidance on Talitha to try to hit this creature with... You have a crossbow out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I rolled natural one on my...
Right. So he'll cast Guidance on Talitha.
Okay. Zephyr, your turn.
It's still on the ceiling 40 feet up.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't need to move... because you're still outside of my volley.
You're right there.
Yeah, as long as you're down there, it's 40 feet. If you were to go to that second level, it would be 20 feet plus the distance.
So she's still in her monastic archer stance, holding the bow with her new arm muscles. And the hand wrap she's wearing, you see the glow start to happen that's happened before. She's casting key strike on this arrow.
Aid.
Ooh.
That would be a 21 on the aid. Well, actually, can I use our... It doesn't matter. I use perception.
It's plus one.
Plus one.
Plus one.
And what did you do? You were like...
I was either going to use like my position to point out where he was, but he moved. So I was like, maybe I'll use my arcana from the knowledge check to be like, oh, shoot him in the groin.
And then I get an extra plus one because of key strike. So it's a plus two.
Okay.
Let's go. 19 to hit.
Oh.
No.
God.
Oop. Yeah, it's a mess.
Oh.
Let's just check out this focus pool. All right. Flurry of blows. I'm just going to try to hit 2 more times. Because why not?
Why not?
Nope.
5. Dude.
1 more time.
Dude.
No.
What would we have even done if this guy could cast spells?
Yeah, for real.
Well, he might have come down.
I don't think so.
No.
Just cast
range spells on us.
Changes the game completely, but the fact that you're not really hitting it,
it's not going to change the game at all. She's still
we really,
dominant.
I mean, if you don't hit, we really can't do damage. From
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a weakness of our party. Yeah. Well, Buggles can.
I mean, I can do it, but it's like.
I can, do some too.
I can do my cantrips.
But I have to be using my actions on light.
They're all, except, Buggles accepts it. It's all small damage. Small,
yeah.
Small ticket orders.
So that was two actions. Third action. I'm standing next to a lot of stuff on a desk. Is there anything here that looks interesting or useful?
Ooh, a little perception check on the area.
Seek actione.
All right, give me a perception.
Oh, is that a seven? Yeah. It's a seven. It's 11.
You know, we're sponsored by a dice company, and we'll probably get you new dice.
I'm rolling every single one of my dice.
They can tell when you get nervous. Like, your dice
I'm not nervous.
They all start
I'm
going bad.
Pissed!
Yeah.
They're all the same vials that are on his pant leg in little like tubes. They're all laying over here. You see various flora that must be native to the first world on the table. Like things are being extracted from the flora and put in these tubes. It's beyond the scope of your.
Maybe he's a wizard.
Maybe.
He doesn't look like a wizard.
It obviously looks alchemist, but
yeah,
spellcaster.
Vials.
We haven't seen him, but we haven't seen him drink vials. Yeah, spells, but maybe spider climb was a vial. Who knows?
Well, that's
can't
her turn.
Can't wait to tell you. I can't find it.
That's her turn. She goes. I still can't hit this guy. You keep bathing him in light, and that's very helpful. I still can't hit him. I don't know what my problem is.
Says Zephyr to Letha's turn.
Okay, I have. Guidance from Brother Amius?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, I'll devise a stratagem. I actually know what this is, and that will miss, even with the guidance, because it will be a 19. Yeah. Oh, no, hold on.
Wait, who?
No, hold on, I can use my...
Shabadoo?
What's Shabadoo?
I don't know, it's just...
Oh, actually, no, if I use my intelligence modifier. Okay. So that will be... I am going to shoot, but let me do my recall knowledge. Will you give me an additional knowledge roll? Because I want to know about the goggles.
You haven't rolled on him yet, have you?
I did.
Oh, you
spider
did.
Climb.
Spider
oh,
climb.
And you got that? Yeah, that was on the spell that he cast. Yeah, so you can do it either way. Oh, yes. What is your society?
Society for the goggles?
What are you doing for the goggles, or you're doing...
I want because he was using the goggles
okay.
for something.
No, Arcana.
Plus 10.
Very cool goggles. You want to kill this guy and take him because
I do want to take
them. I want to kill him regardless.
Once per day, you can use this ability with the goggles. They're called stock goggles. Greater stock.
Oh, whoa. Greater anything is good.
Once per day, you can use this. You can activate them, and it gives you all around vision. A +1 item bonus to perception checks involving sight for 1 minute, and during this time you can't be flanked.
Wow.
It's like
all around vision. Cool as hell.
It can like curl around like a snail and look all around. Can't be flanked.
Okay. And Talitha will fire off with the crossbow, and that is gonna be a 21 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes, finally. Oh,
yes.
And I get an extra D6 on this because of the strategic strike. 8 points of damage.
Eight points of damage.
Sunk a bolt.
And then Talitha will actually move. She'll move to the back of the room, the eastern side of the room, just to keep us spread out in case he gets his...
She slides nimbly under the vast deference. Disaster's turn.
I slap it as I go through.
Ah, says the tree.
Asta is going to step her foot back, focusing... and then just shoot a phase bolt. She's holding her katana, but she just shoots it with her katana.
Phase bolt?
A little phase bolt drawn. So let me roll.
Nice.
I love saying drawn.
Nice.
That's going to be...
You've done irreparable harm.
Ooh.
Kate did in a text today. It was awesome.
It was perfect use.
It's a great word. I say it all the time.
I loved seeing it in the text. It was so good.
That was a good one.
Dirty Twan Zoni Juan.
Miss.
That's a miss.
Wow.
Oh, so it's
so you needed the guidance. Look at that.
How come nobody gave me guidance? All right, so I miss on that, and then I'm going to...
Keep thinking about that.
It's ranged. What did you do? Oh, you did a cantrip. Range cantrip.
Yeah, a cantrip. Yeah.
It would also add another half hour onto your turn.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true.
On the positive side... More opportunities to play the drop.
Yeah.
That's true.
Nick is getting a lot of air time.
Quality drop.
No.
No.
Is that the natural of ones?
On my Foxfire, I rolled a
spell.
Natural.
Fumble?
One.
No, you didn't.
Is it a
just
spell?
Take it back.
It's magical.
Just take that undo. Sounds... Control Z.
It's magical. Yeah. I just want to make sure it is a spell because it's
it
like...
It doesn't matter. If it's magical.
Okay.
It's magical.
Okay.
Fumble.
Dude, give me that magical fumble.
Okay. This one from Aaron in Knoxville.
Aaron.
Hey.
Aaron in Knoxville, Tennessee. Remove your mask. Occult energy twists your magic, giving you visions, or perhaps memories, of a future that has yet to happen. Use this temporary insight to re-roll the D20 that just resulted in this fumble and take the new result.
What?
What a terrible
That's
fumble.
That's amazing.
Whoa, okay.
Bad fumble.
He's making it up. He's making it up.
Are you lying? Bait and switch?
No, just keep... Hey, there's more. Okay.
All right. But you see...
Don't peek, you jerk.
You see Asta as her tail crackles. It's like overpoweringly crackling. Like it's too much. And she almost looks like all of her body is
power
crackling.
Surge.
She's having a power surge. And she, in her mind, she sees like... unbelievable like wealth in like a foyer, like marble stone floors and these forever high ceilings, like it's a dream, like the ceilings go on forever, and you hear someone walking in the distance and she like turns her head and then you see a forest and you see all these little like cutouts into the land, almost like the Shire, like mossy tops, and
yeah.
You see all these kitsune. The whole place is a kitsune, like, little cove. And they're laughing, and they're, like, so happy. And she double takes to look back at the marble floor, and she looks back, and then it's abandoned. There's no one in the cove. And it's overgrown. And there's nobody there. And it's, like, gray. And now I'm going to reroll.
After you get this bottle cap.
Oh! No! Nice! You see, Kate, that's how you get a bottle cap.
You what? Fumble.
I know why that was particularly
I could
cool.
Flip this table. I would.
It's quite heavy.
Lucky number 13?
Total?
Do I add?
Yeah, yeah. Just re-roll the results. Yeah.
Oh, 6, 7, 18, 9, 20. Oh, dirty 20.
Still a miss.
Same as that roll. Okay. Then... your next three D20 rolls, you roll twice and take the lower as these visions continue to assail you.
Holy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
three.
Awesome.
Disadvantage.
Wow. Sorry, I said that was a bad fumble. That's a great.
That is awesome. Okay.
I mean, she could have crit you and then basically have to roll twice for three more D20 rolls.
That is crazy. Disadvantage for three.
That'd be
awesome.
That's a really cool one. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. From Knoxville.
Aaron, my second home, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And for this whole time, maybe she's just crackling. Like, she's still crackling. She looks, like, out of control.
Yeah.
It is Buggles' turn.
Buggles.
Oh, man, this is getting bad.
Yeah.
I mean, next round?
Yeah.
Spells back? Next round's the last round.
The aura shifts into a freezing particulate one, and boom, snaps his fingers, and it's another frostbite, this one of actual frost. Please give me another fortitude save.
23.
All right, basic save. God damn it. It's awful. So it takes 3 points of damage. And I get another three temporary hit points. And with my third action, he's going to reach out to Asta. The Buggles facet of him is going to reach out to Asta. So it's like, it's all right. And heal you for 4 points of damage.
Thank you. I was still down. That's extremely helpful. I'm almost back to full.
Nice.
Asta. End of round three. We go to the top of round four. There are only two more rounds where it is silenced. Will you take him out before he gets his Johns back? We'll find out next week.
Oh, no!
That's the line you want to go out on.
That's the line we're going to
get his Johns back.
Classic Johns back.
The next episode is going to be called How Climb Guy Got His Johns Back.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.